Hi, welcome to Live Greatly. I am your host, Crystal Bauer, and I'm so very excited to be here today to share all this wonderful knowledge with you. I want to give you a little bit of background so that you know about me and the mission of Live Greatly. Our mission is to help you achieve optimal health in mind, body, and spirit to attain success. The goal with this podcast is to share different tips and insights to help reduce and manage stress, reduce anxiety, and overcome fears holding us back from greatness. I'll be sharing with you my personal insights, and we'll also be interviewing different practitioners in the integrative field and also people who are in successful roles and careers to learn how they were able to overcome their fears to achieve their dreams. Now, you may be wondering why I'm qualified to talk to you about all this stuff, so let me give you a little bit of background. I'm an experienced and passionate speaker on wellness, and I've been able to help many people overcome challenges and achieve their goals. I'm a fellow in the Andrew Weil Integrative Medicine Fellowship through the University of Arizona. I'm a physician assistant with a history working in integrative psychiatry, which has given me a very unique perspective on how to optimize mental health and how to build resilience. I'm a Reiki master. I have a very strong interest in spirituality and how it affects your overall well-being. I'm a lecturer at the university level, also an adjunct PBL facilitator for Northwestern's Physician Assistant Program. All of this really is my passion, and I've personally practiced and experienced most, if not all, of the different tools and modalities we'll be talking about, so I really understand and can relate to all the different things that we'll be discussing. All the information I'm sharing is based on my personal experiences and opinions, and it is not medical advice. This is not meant to diagnose, treat, or prevent any illness. Discuss any changes you're considering to implement in all health-related matters and wellness matters with your healthcare provider. So let's dive into the topic of today's podcast. Could your love of French fries be making you grouchy? Today, we're going to be talking about how your diet and your gut health can impact your mood. We'll discuss the anti-inflammatory diet and tips to optimize your gut microbiome. We're also going to chat about how this can have a very positive impact on your mood and your overall health. So we'll be covering a lot of really valuable things today, so make sure you stick around until the end so you don't miss out on any of this great info. And when I think of wellness, there are different categories that contribute to our overall well-being. You know, a lot of these categories overlap and can depend on each other. And one of these main categories is your physical body and your lifestyle choices. So today we're going to discuss some of the basics that you really can't ignore if you want to optimize your health, you know, your mood, and your performance. So the big question is, could those French fries be making you grouchy? And I'm here to say, sorry guys, yes, 100%. What you eat can and does affect the way you feel. What you're putting into your body has an enormous impact on your energy and your mood. And science is showing the significant impact that inflammation has on mood and mental health and so many other areas in the body. You know, what I find so fascinating that I really didn't know until I started working in psychiatry is there's a really big correlation between inflammation and mental illness. Now, think about the last time that you were sick with a bad cold or the flu, and most likely your mood was also crummy. You know, your body's fighting off the infection, releasing inflammatory markers, and this can make you not feel your best. So really working on reducing inflammation with your diet just by itself can be a game changer for many people, optimizing their mood and energy and helping them feel more regulated and resilient throughout the day. We're also learning more and more about how important the gut microbiome is for overall health and wellness. And something I learned while working in psychiatry is that we get about 90 to 95% of our serotonin, which I guess you could say is our happy chemical, from our gut. You know, the bacteria in our guts actually help create serotonin. And so this finding was kind of an aha moment for me in how truly important the gut is for our mood and our well-being. And, you know, there's a study that was done called Transferring the Blues, which I'll attach on this podcast site. And I think it's such a fascinating study where they did a fecal transplant from depressed patients to rats that were microbiota deficient. And this fecal transplant, which is really just transferring stool from depressed patients to rats, actually resulted in the rats developing behaviors consistent with depression. So the rats had anxiety-like behaviors and something called anhedonia, which means an inability to feel pleasure. And this fecal transplant actually transplanted the depressed mood. You know, the reason I'm mentioning this to all of you is I just kind of want to plant the seed of how much positive change you can have by optimizing your gut microbiome and working with your diet. You know, I really feel like food is medicine. And as a society, a lot of times we want the quick fix. So we'll kind of bypass these lifestyle changes, looking for things that are faster. But really, to get those long-lasting health benefits, you need to take a close look at your diet and your lifestyle. If you eat high-quality food, if you take care of your body, what you put into your body, you're likely going to notice some positive changes. And you can have some significant shifts just by adjusting your nutrition. So to optimize your gut microbiome, you want to take a close look at your diet, and we'll be talking about the anti-inflammatory diet in a moment. Other suggestions include eating fermented foods, consider taking a probiotic supplement, eating foods high in fiber and prebiotic-rich foods could be very helpful, exercising regularly, optimizing your sleep, minimizing antibiotic usage when possible, reserving it for when it's only truly needed, reducing stress. These are all things you can do to support a healthy gut microbiome. Tips for reducing stress really is a whole talk in itself, but one, idea that I think is a really good way to help reduce stress is starting a meditation practice. And this has been something that's been a game changer for me, and there's a bunch of different apps out there that you guys can explore and a bunch of different ways to get started with this, but that's one quick tip for helping reduce your stress. It's also possible that having furry pets may help benefit the microbiome. So hooray for all those dog and cat lovers out there. I'm definitely a dog lover, and we have two furry pets. So hopefully that's helped my microbiome out a little bit. Also try not to overuse disinfectants. Get outside, play in nature, and think about trying gardening. So I really strongly feel that if you want to try and achieve your ultimate potential, if you really want to feel your best, be the most effective and successful in your life, you have to feel good. And to be able to share your talents with the world and all of your insights and wisdom, you need to be able to feel your best. And this starts with diet and what you're putting into your body. I really don't think that it's possible to feel your best if you're eating a diet that's highly inflammatory on a regular basis. I'm all for an occasional indulgence, and I don't want you to think that what I'm saying is you can never eat a French fry again. I'm not. Instead, I'm talking about a lifestyle choice where you still can have the occasional splurge, but you're eating well the majority of the time. And my goal is to give you some tips and tools so that you're empowered to make positive changes for yourself and able to optimize your ability to achieve success and feel your best. Again, when your body feels vibrant and healthy, you're going to share that energy with the world, and it's going to put you in a position to better achieve your dreams. So what foods are inflammatory? Typically when you're looking at processed food that comes in a bag, it's going to have a lot of additives, probably some processed flour, some inflammatory oils, maybe high fructose corn syrup, added sugars, food coloring, trans fat, and other things that spike inflammation. Pastries, sweets, sugar, fried foods, sodas, some cereals, margarine, certain oils, white bread, refined carbs, all these things can spike inflammation. Also things like processed meat, like bacon and sausage. I'm sorry for all you bacon lovers out there. Large amounts of alcohol, saturated fat, and things like pizza and burgers. All of these things are different foods that you want to try and minimize. Spoiler alert, so I don't scare all of you away, the anti-inflammatory diet we're going to be talking about does include red wine in moderation and dark chocolate. Now back to inflammatory foods. I think for most people, once in a while, it's okay to have some of these things, but overall, we want to avoid things on the list. And obviously that's all going to be individualized depending on your different conditions. And that's something to discuss with your healthcare provider. There have been some links between food coloring and ADHD and impulsivity, so I would also recommend trying to stay away from these things when possible. Thankfully, a bunch of products are coming out with natural food coloring made with fruits and vegetables, so there are some good options out there. Your body really is amazing, and it will give you signs if it does not like the things you're putting into it. So pay attention. If you ignore these taps on the shoulder, your body can get angry and health problems can start to occur. So now that we've talked about what foods are inflammatory, let's talk about what we should be eating. I love good food, I love eating food, and I think preparing and sharing a meal is such a wonderful time to connect with your family and your friends, and to be able to sit down at the table together and talk about your day, connect over nourishing food is something that's really special. I think preparing and eating food is supposed to be fun and nourishing, and it should leave you energized, not ready for a nap. So I don't like boring food. I like colorful, fun, invigorating food that makes you feel awesome. This was not always the case for me. And looking back at myself in high school and college, I used to eat a lot more processed foods. And, this type of healthy eating we're going to be talking about really wasn't on my radar. No one had really talked to me about it. And to give you an example, at that time I thought a Diet Coke was a healthy choice. And I thought that a bagel was also a perfect breakfast if I decided to actually eat before lunchtime. So I didn't really understand at that point in my life how diet could impact your body in so many profound ways. You know, and as I've grown and gone throughout my training, it's just amazing to me how food really is medicine, and what you put into your body can either help you or hurt you. So let's take a closer look at the anti-inflammatory diet and some tips and tools to help optimize your health. I'm going to post Dr. Andrew Weil's food pyramid with this podcast, which is what we'll be discussing. The main thing I'm going to stress is trying to eat plants and whole foods. Foods that do not come packaged, you know, the base of the diet is vegetables and fruit. Now, they're high in antioxidants. You want to aim for about 4 to 5 servings of veggies and about 3 to 4 fruit a day. I'm a big fan of cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and cauliflower and also berries, but you do want to get a wide variety, and you don't want to eat the same thing every single day. You want to try and switch it up. You want to try and buy organic when you can. And then after you got kind of your fruits and your veggies down, you want to add in the whole grains, beans, legumes. Also, al dente pasta is on the plan, which I know is very exciting for a lot of you who love pasta. You want to get 5 to 7 servings of healthy fats per day with things like olive oil, avocados, nuts, and seeds. You also want to aim for 2 to 6 servings of fish or seafood a week. So fish like wild salmon is a good option. Some seafood should not be eaten regularly due to the mercury content and also some contaminants. So I recommend going onto the EWG website to check out their good seafood guide, and I will provide a link for you guys with this podcast. Whole soy foods are recommended, having 1 to 2 servings per day, using things like organic soy milk, tofu, or edamame. Whole soy does not include things like soy protein isolate, which is found in a lot of packaged options. Asian mushrooms is also on the food pyramid, and this can be helpful in supporting immune function. Now, a tip, you always need to cook your mushrooms. You should not be eating mushrooms raw. Mushrooms that are recommended are things like shiitake, maitake, oyster mushrooms. The plan actually recommends minimizing the mushrooms that I feel like are the most common, the portobello mushrooms and the cremini mushrooms. So it does not include those. It's looking at the other mushrooms that I mentioned earlier. Other protein sources like poultry, grass-fed lean meat, omega-3 enriched eggs, high-quality yogurt or cheese, you know, can be eaten about 1 to 2 times a week. And again, I recommend organic when possible when you're eating any meat products. Abundant herbs and spices are also used for cooking and seasoning. So instead of reaching for the salt, you want to have a wide variety of herbs to be able to flavor your food. A lot of different spices have wonderful anti-inflammatory effects. You know, turmeric is one that has really exploded recently. Also, the cool thing about the anti-inflammatory diet is it does include some healthy sweets, like some dark chocolate. It should be at least 70%, and it also includes an optional occasional glass of red wine. You know, no more than 1 glass daily for women or 2 daily for men. However, it does not recommend starting to drink alcohol if you do not currently. So where to start with all of this? You know, keeping a food journal can be really helpful if you want to figure out where you're at, and then slowly but surely making some shifts and changes. I think if you start and jump into this with really poor eating habits to begin with, and you want to do it all at once, it can be really overwhelming for people. But if you start slowly, picking one thing to shift at a time, it's more manageable. If people are already eating relatively healthy, this may be something that can be switched to all at once. It just kind of depends where the person's at. So you could start by looking at your breakfast. You know, and really, how can you expect to have optimal brain function and optimal performance if you're eating a donut for breakfast, or if you're skipping breakfast and not eating until lunchtime? You know, how can you expect your body and your brain, your mind, to be functioning at its peak performance if you don't have the proper fuel? So think about switching to a nutritious breakfast, possibly a smoothie with berries, you know, filled with antioxidants, some spinach, with, you know, filled with vitamins, maybe some almond butter, nut milk. Other options would be steel-cut oats topped with walnuts and berries. Another choice would be something like a sprouted grain English muffin with sliced avocado and some fruit. Also, take a look at the oils that you cook with. You know, I personally like to cook with avocado oil or algae oil, which is a newer type of oil. So you're going to want to cook with oils that have a higher smoke point. So whatever oils you do get, check the smoke point. I like to use olive oil more for topping or for salad dressings because olive oil does have a lower smoke point, so I don't bake with it or cook with it. I use it to finish off sauces or, again, to kind of drizzle over veggies or salads. And for snacks, you know, I love veggies and hummus. I love sliced apple with almond butter or some nuts with fruit. You know, one of my favorite dinner dishes is a quinoa bowl, and you can switch out your toppings, but one of my favorites is a Mexican bowl with quinoa at the base. Then you add beans, guacamole, salsa, some sauteed veggies. It's delicious. There are so many different things that you can eat that taste amazing and are going to give you great energy and vitality for your day. So starting small sometimes is a really good way to help get the momentum going and to help you feel motivated that you're capable of making these shifts and changes. You don't want to start by being overwhelmed. So be kind to yourself, pick one thing to start with and go from there. Once you have that meal down, expand, and before you know it, you'll have adopted a new healthy lifestyle and diet. And try and make this fun. You know, I recommend going out and getting some amazing cookbooks. Give yourself time to explore the grocery store. You know, look at the labels and turn this into an adventure. Now, if you're like me, you'll likely have some special occasions where you indulge, and that's part of living and enjoying life. So don't take this to the extreme. Again, it's all about moderation, because even healthy things in the extreme can be unhealthy. It's not about being perfect. It's really about doing the best you can with the information that you have and with what you know. And I really want everyone to be kind to themselves. This is not about shaming or feeling bad about yourself. It's quite the opposite. It's about empowering you to realize that you do have the ability to make the shifts and changes for your overall well-being. So now on to dairy and gluten. You know, I get asked a lot about whether gluten and dairy are harmful. And I think the answer depends on the individual and also the type of gluten and dairy that's being consumed. For people who have celiac disease or lactose intolerance, yes, avoiding these foods is needed. But for others, it can get to be a little tricky. You know, some people may have a gluten sensitivity and they don't feel their best when they're eating gluten. And also, dairy can be inflammatory for some people. What I have seen to help clarify this is doing a trial off of gluten or a trial off of dairy for about 3 weeks and see how you feel. Typically, if people add the gluten or the dairy back in after that 3 week time frame, they're going to notice a spike in their symptoms, whatever their symptoms may be. So even if you don't have a very large shift when you're off of gluten or dairy, it's really when you're adding it back in, that's when you want to pay attention to how you're feeling, because that can start to be the time when things will flare up. Another thing to think about is your water intake and your hydration. Your body and your nervous system and your brain are not going to be operating at their best if you're dehydrated. You're not going to be able to feel your best, and you're not going to be able to have the proper decision making that you're going to need if you're dehydrated. So it's really important to make sure that you're drinking enough fluids, that you're rehydrating and restoring your electrolyte balance after exercise. You know, I know a lot of us are coffee drinkers, and I'm definitely included in this. I love, love, love coffee. I played around with going without it for a period of time to see how I feel. I've switched to tea for short periods of time, but I always tend to come back to it. You know, so coffee is something I definitely enjoy in the morning. I would recommend just watching the amount of coffee and caffeine that you're consuming, you know, and try and not overdo it. And I really would recommend trying to stay away from it in the afternoons. Make sure that you're rehydrating, that it's not affecting your sleep patterns, and make sure it's not making you anxious. I personally like to have something called Four Sigmatic coffee in my rotation, which has a mushroom blend of chaga and lion's mane, which may help with cognitive functioning, and that's one of my favorites. I also like to drink green tea, which has theanine in it, which can be helpful for cognitive performance and possibly helpful for feelings of stress. But make sure it's organic, and always eat something with your green tea to help protect your liver. So to wrap up today, you know, stress and struggles with anxiety and moods are so prevalent. And I feel like no matter what place you're at in your life, if you're in school, if you're a parent, if you're working at an intense job, wherever you are, you're likely dealing with some different challenges and stressors that can sometimes be hard to overcome. Now, the good news is that there are lifestyle changes that can have a huge impact on your happiness and resilience. Cleaning up your diet and working on your gut microbiome are wonderful places to start. Thank you all for tuning in today. Until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, encouraging you to awaken your ultimate potential.